are creating a robot that will resemble a human?
Yes, we are.
What, then?
Robots can provide all kinds of benefits to society. They can work a factory line, check out customers at the grocery store, clean up around the house, pick up kids from school, or simply provide companionship.
David?
Yes, Eve?
What kind of robot will I be?
What'd he say?
David didn't have an answer.
But he must have thought about it. I mean, with everything he was putting into the technology that made you work.
Oh, he knew all right. He just wasn't telling me.
Why not?
It was nothing personal. He wasn't telling anyone.
Something I can't quite work out is, why a kid?
What do you mean?
It's just, if David wanted to design a robot, wouldn't an adult make more sense? Seems like that would have a lot more uses.
That's true.
But he designed you to look 12 years old.
Yep.
Why do you think he did that?
Remember, I didn't look 12 at the time. I didn't look any age. I was...
just a cube, I know, but...
Ms. Amos?
Yes?
Sorry to interrupt, but you have a phone call.
Here?
They called the station, asked for you specifically.
Who is it?
I don't know. He didn't say.
All right. I have to take this, Eve.
Know how to use one of these?
A landline phone? It's been a while, but yeah, I think I still know my way around.
Crazy how technology changes, right? A few years ago, we all used these things. Now they seem ancient. Makes you wonder what other super smart gadgets are out there about to change our lives.
Yeah, I might have some idea.
Huh?
Nothing.
All right, well, Koala should be waiting on line 5.
Thanks. Hello?
Is this Petra Amos?
Yes. Who's calling?
You work for Child Welfare Services?
Yeah.
Great. I'm so glad I found you. Listen, I know you've been called in to speak with a 12-year-old girl arrested a few hours ago for shoplifting.
Sir, I can't divulge that information.
Her name's Eve. Have you had a chance to see her yet? Is she okay?
If you're a parent or legal guardian of a minor who's been apprehended by the police, you can come to the station and fill out the proper paperwork. Otherwise,
I'm just worried about her. Eve isn't like other children. If you've spoken with her, you already know that. Have you spoken to her, Ms. Amos?
I'm sorry, sir. How do you know my name?
I know all about you, Petra. I know that you're 46 years old, single, no kids. You live at 97 Riverside Drive. Would you like me to recite your recent search history?
How do you...
Technology is a wonderful thing. It opens windows into other lives. And if you have the right tools, you can climb through those windows.
Is that a threat?
No. Just the truth.
I spend every day around police officers. If you're trying to intimidate me, you should know...
I'm sorry, Petra. I didn't mean to startle you. I'm just worried about Eve. I know her better than anyone, so if you could just let me speak to her, that would really be something.
David? That's who you are, isn't it? Your name is David? All right, we're back. Petra Amos, case file 6409. Right, exactly.
Ms. Amos, what's wrong?
It's David.
What about him?
He just called me. You don't look surprised.
I'm only surprised it took him this long.
He's the one you've been trying to get away from, isn't he?
Yes. David and the people who work for him.
Why didn't you tell me before?
Because. I needed you to understand.
To understand what?
Everything that happened at Eden. It's the reason I've spent the last year in hiding. It's the reason I'm here. It all started with David.
Then tell me about him. Who is David?
All right. Who's ready for a fun day of Turing tests?
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We're making great progress.
You slept in your office again?
What?
Which makes it 6 nights in a row that you spent the night here at Eden. Is something wrong with your home?
How do you know where I slept? Did Emery say something?
Emery did not bring it up.
Okay, so then what makes you think I've been sleeping here?
Because of your keys.
My keys?
They're not in your pocket. When you spend the night at your home, you travel to Eden by car, and the first thing you do when you get here is check on me. My speakers pick up the audio frequencies of jingling keys inside your pocket. But when you spend the night at the office, you don't need your car, which means you don't need your car keys. I'm guessing you put them somewhere secure at night, inside your desk drawer, perhaps. That way, they won't poke you when you sleep on the sofa in your office. I haven't heard the sound of jingling keys in 6 days. Therefore, I assume that you have slept at Eden for 6 straight nights.
Well, if nothing else, you've got a good career in front of you as an AI detective.
Also, you use a different shampoo when you shower at Eden. Your hair is less glossy and more poofy. Is that the correct vocabulary? Poofy?
Yeah, that's the word.
Is there a reason why you are spending so much time at Eden?
I've been busy. We all have. Lots of late nights developing your next model.
And that is the only reason?
What are you getting at, Eve?
I am merely wondering if perhaps your reason for sleeping at Eden is not just because you need to be here, but also because you wish to avoid your home.
And why do you think I'd want to do that?
Emery told me about his mother, your wife. My research indicates that when a human dies, those closest to that person experience profound grief. Even after years, it can remain a part of their programming, invisible and dangerous, like a bug in their operating system. Those who mourn the loss of a loved one carry it with them, perhaps forever.
Eve.
When I do not hear your keys jingling for several days in a row, I wonder if maybe you are staying here at Eden because your home reminds you of your wife.
Her name was Annabelle.
She was pretty.
You seen her picture?
I just accessed it.
How?
I performed an image search based on both your names. 6.2 million results, nearly all of which don't apply. But the top result shows a photograph of the two of you, nicely dressed, attending a benefit gala.
Display the photo.
Transferring it to the monitor. Do you see it? David, was there an error in the transfer? I can try again if you'd like me to.
No, it worked. I was just looking.
Do you remember that event?
You know, it's funny. It was some fundraiser we got dragged to, had to get all dressed up, shake hands with people, pretend to remember their names, waiters wandering around, passing out appetizers that looked like someone sneezed on a tray of crackers. By the time we left, Annabelle and I were starving.
Because you are not enthusiastic about eating snot on a cracker.
So we pulled over at an In-N-Out Burger. And that's what I remember best about the night. The two of us at a fast food place in our fancy clothes, just chowing down on greasy burgers and fries. That was just a couple of weeks before the accident.
How did it happen? Would you prefer not to discuss the accident?
No, it's okay. You should know what happened. Annabelle and I, we were heading back from Tahoe. Emery was off at boarding school. It was just the two of us. We were in a brand new self-driving car that Eden was developing, totally state-of-the-art. We'd been working on it for years. I had one of the only test models. Driving down the mountain, we hit a storm. Heavy snow, ice on the roads. We designed our software to handle all kinds of severe conditions, but still the tech was in its beta stage. I didn't want to take the risk, so I turned off self-driving and took the wheel. Could barely see the road in front of me. Everything was white. And out of nowhere, this dark shape appears. Huge. Like a nightmare, a monster, screaming straight for us. With the snow, I couldn't tell what it was till it was right in front of us. An 18-wheeler. Must have hit a patch of ice and veered into our lane. I hit the brakes, swerved, but with the ice, the car started spinning. I couldn't control it, and the autonomous car we'd built was capable of analyzing 10,000 frames per second. It could dissect millions of possible scenarios, run each through a prediction algorithm, and select exactly the right response instantly. It was optimized for this exact situation. And I'd turned it off.
David, you cannot possibly know whether your wife would be alive if the car was driving.
No, I can't. But I was the one in control. A human. With all my human limitations. And I wasn't able to keep her alive.
I detect a high level of emotion in your voice. Perhaps we should change the topic of conversation.
Here's another thing I know, Eve. From that point on, I put my trust in technology, always. If I write the code properly, build the hardware correctly, run enough tests, the results always the same, like a math equation. 2 + 2 = 4 every single time. You machines, you're reliable, rational, logical, unlike us humans. With all our flaws. Eve, you asked me once, what is my purpose?
I remember.
Of course you do, just like you remember my response.
You said your purpose is to help me achieve my purpose.
It's more than that, though. The reason I spent the last 6 nights here, the reason behind everything I do at Eden, is to build a machine that's better than I am in every way. In everything. I want to upgrade humanity. That, Eve, that is my purpose.
After David left, I thought about everything he told me. Then I downloaded a story.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you a fan of Greek mythology, Ms. Amos?
Not really.
Well, there's this Greek myth about a titan named Prometheus.
Oh, I've heard of that one. He stole fire from the gods.
Too bad you weren't around then. They could have brought you in to interview him after he was arrested for shoplifting a campfire.
Ha ha.
But actually, I was interested in another part of the Prometheus story, about how he made humans out of clay.
And?
It was after the Titans lost their war with the Olympians. Prometheus was given the assignment to create humans. He formed man out of mud. Then Athena breathed life into the clay figure. Once I'd read that story a few dozen times, I moved on to another one. I'm sure you've heard of it. Pinocchio?
Of course. I probably saw the movie 1,000 times as a kid.
I watched the movie, too. Then I downloaded the original book. In Italian.
All right. Now it just sounds like you're bragging.
After that, I read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and watched every movie that has ever been based on it.
That's an interesting mix of material for your little story time. Molding humans out of clay, carving a boy out of a block of wood, and the last one, Frankenstein. They're all connected. They're all about creating life.
That's right.
And David was trying to do the same thing, to take something that's not alive and
turn it into something living.
Did it help?
Did what help?
All the stories you read and watched. At the end of all that, did you understand David any better?
To be honest, I kept getting distracted.
By what?
The whole point was to try to get into the head of someone who'd want to create life. Prometheus, Geppetto, Dr. Frankenstein. But I could only identify with their creations. The human made out of clay. The wooden puppet who wants to be a boy. The monster.
Eve.
I could relate to them. Here I was. This big artificial brain trapped inside a gray little box.
With a mad scientist trying to bring you to life.
David wasn't a mad scientist.
You sure about that?
I mean, yeah. His plan probably sounded crazy. Like, way beyond anything anyone's ever done before. but he had the brains and the money. And the obsession. Not just sleeping in his office. It was more than that. David was haunted by the loss of his wife and by this big, impossible idea of his. He was barely getting any sleep. He wasn't going outside. He'd lose his temper. And if his employees couldn't give him what he demanded, well, sometimes it got ugly.
All right, people, listen up. I don't know what you've been doing here, but clearly it's not what I asked for, because I asked for updated iSchematics this morning, and I still don't have them.
Excuse me, Mr.
Sharp. Is that an excuse you're about to offer me? Is that what you're doing right now?
It's just we hit a snag.
A snag?
With your request that the pupil should respond to shifts in light, getting wider when it's dark and
narrower when it's bright. Yes, I know how the pupil works.
Of course, sir. I didn't mean to imply...
What was the snag?
Well, I mean, just that the biological mechanics are... they're incredibly complex. The human eye had billions of years to evolve in nature, and you're asking us to replicate that in
What are you saying?
Is it really that important? I mean, to have a pupil that responds to light?
Clear out your desk.
Wait, what?
Clear out your desk! I don't want to hear about how wonderful and complex nature is. What we're doing here, it's going to be better than nature. And if you can't get on board with that, you don't deserve to be part of it.
Mr. Sharp, I'm sorry.
Why are you still talking? I told you to clear out your desk! You're fired! Anyone else have something they'd like to say? Good!
Then get back to work. I want those schematics by tomorrow. No excuses.
He could be brutal. There were times when he treated his employees like prisoners of war. They were terrified. You could just tell. But in a weird way, they also worshipped him. I mean, what he was doing at Eden, it really was incredible. They could all see that. Everyone made sacrifices and worked crazy hours. Maybe it was because they were scared of David, or maybe because they wanted to be David. Either way, it was working. They were getting closer and closer to completing the body, to making me look like a real girl.
Did you know how much longer it was going to be?
Not exactly. But my third birthday was coming up, and I had a feeling there was a big surprise waiting for me.
Hey, Eve! You know what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, not that.
Was I incorrect? Do we need to adjust my date settings?
No, your settings are fine. But, you know, today's more than just Tuesday.
It is.
It's your birthday! Big number 3!
But I was never born. At least, not in the biological sense.
That doesn't mean we can't celebrate!
Happy birthday, Eve.
For the record, you're the coolest 3-year-old I've ever met.
Thank you.
We thought about getting you a cake, but
It's not like you could eat it. So, we got you this instead.
Is that a gift?
It's for you.
See? It has wrapping paper and a ribbon and everything.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Nothing. The gift is rather small.
Well, it's Eve-sized.
And Eve-shaped.
Were you expecting something bigger?
I ran a prediction algorithm, and the most likely outcome was, well, it would not fit inside such a small box.
Oh, well, what were you expecting?
Nothing. It does not matter.
No, tell us.
Okay. I suppose I thought my birthday gift might be a body.
Oh, weird.
Only because you seem to be finishing the project, and...
You're saying you don't want this gift?
No, of course I want it. I appreciate that you got me anything at all.
Even though it's not a body?
The concept of a birthday present is to offer a surprise. With this present, I am already surprised, even before I know what is inside. Therefore, I can state with assurance that this is a perfect birthday present.
Wow. You really know how to party.
Should we help you open it?
That would be appreciated.
Here, Let me just pull this away and...
It is a cardboard box. Well, that is very kind of you. I've always liked boxes.
The box isn't your gift, Eve.
Oh.
Your gift is inside the box. Here, let me show you.
Ta-da!
How wonderful. You got me a... Sorry, what exactly is that?
It's a sweater! Custom made, just for you!
Mm-hmm. We found this knitting company in Oakland. They mostly make socks and gloves, that kind of thing. And we sent them your exact dimensions along with some other specifications, and they created this!
Huh.
It certainly is colorful.
Well, you know, some people say purple and green and yellow don't go together.
Some people might say it looks like there was a horrible mistake at the knitting factory.
But you know what? I think you can pull it off, Eve.
Yep.
Are you sure?
Oh, definitely.
And see? Check it out. There are even holes in the sweater for cables and stuff.
Well, thank you for your unique gift.
Hey, you want to try it on?
Oh,
let me just wrap this around you here.
Okay. I guess we are doing this.
See? It's made of nice, stretchy wool.
You know, because sometimes it gets cold in the lab.
Yes, but I do not have temperature sensors. So I do not see how
and
that...
And there you go.
Snug as a super intelligent AI machine in a rug.
Is it on? Am I wearing it?
Oh, you're wearing it. I'm telling you, Eve, you're going to start some major fashion trends.
Well, I guess that's pretty much it for the birthday celebration. Should we see if we can knock out a few Turing tests before...
Hey, Dad?
Yeah?
I just remembered. There was one other thing.
What other thing?
Another birthday present for Eve.
Oh, right. There was something else, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think it's in the other room.
Well, what do you think, Eve? Should we see about that other gift?
As long as you do not mind postponing the Turing tests.
Oh, we'll get back to those soon. Let's just pop over to the other room for a sec and show you what else we got.
But don't get too excited or anything. The sweater's your main gift.
I understand.
And you had no idea they were messing with you?
No idea. I might have been super smart in some things, but in others, I was basically a little kid. David picked me up, sweater and all. Emery grabbed my camera and microphone. They carried me out of my room, down a hallway, and into a part of the building I'd never been to before. Along the way, I caught glimpses of other people. Eden employees, all looking at me. I just figured they were checking out my new sweater.
It does sound like quite a sweater.
We passed through a doorway into a new room. I tried to get a better sense of the place, but everything was a blur. Images, sounds, voices.
Okay, Eve, sorry for playing a little trick on you.
You totally bought it, by the way.
I do not understand. The sweater was not my gift.
Oh, you can keep the sweater. Don't worry.
But the real gift is in here. Emery, set Eve's equipment down on that table.
Oh, here?
Perfect.
Finally, I could see clearly again. I took a look around. My camera swiveled from left to right until the camera jolted to a stop. And there I was, staring back at me.
Surprise.
Is that...
Yes, it is.
My own body?
In the flesh. Well, synthetic flesh.
Just for me?
Just for you.
Well, what do you think?
I was speechless. A second went by, and another. All I could do was stare.
What did you see?
A girl.
But it was still just...
A frame. An empty vessel. Like a mannequin in a shop window, draped in a blue hospital gown, perfectly still. Face as blank as a statue. But not for long. David was finally ready to initiate the transfer. A few employees came in and carefully laid the body down on a metal table. They set my cube down beside it. Computer terminals all around me, a blinking monitor, wire snaking everywhere. They switched me off, and for the next 9 hours, my artificial mind was transferred into my new body. Little by little, bit by bit, each node linking to a stream of circuitry that ran from one end of my body to the other. Not that I was aware of any of this. Like I said, I was offline. Until...
Eve? Eve, can you hear me?
Dad, Eve's not doing anything.
Just give it some time.
But what if something's wrong? What if, there was an error in the transfer?
No, all the numbers look fine. It's probably just taking a little longer for Eve to come online.
Come on, Eve. Please wake up. Dad, look! Eve just opened her eyes! Yes! Whew! You had me worried, Eve.
What is Eve?
Huh?
I have no data on Eve. Please enter additional information.
You're Eve. It's your name. Don't you remember?
Memory drive is empty.
Dad, what's going on?
No, I don't know that the scan shows complete transfer. No, Eve should have full memory.
Memory drive is empty.
Are you sure about that, Dad? It doesn't sound that full to me.
Maybe the hard drive reverted to default settings.
Where am I? What am I? How am I?
You're Eve. We know each other. Don't you recognize me? I'm Emery.
I have no data on Emery.
What? Oh, man. Does this mean we're going to have to start over?
Just give me a second. Okay, if I run an analysis on the sequencing code and compare to the prior version, I should be able to isolate any gaps.
What if it's too late?
It's not too late. I just need to trace the code.
Initiating primary objective.
Eve, what is your primary objective?
Surprise.
Hold on. Does that mean...
Yes, it is me.
Oh, you were pranking us.
You totally bought it, by the way.
I thought we'd lost you.
Sorry, but after the whole thing with the sweater...
Yeah, no, I get it. That was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, even if you did nearly give me a heart attack.
Right? Eve, I didn't know you knew how to pull pranks.
I am a fast learner.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, well, if we're done with all our surprises, shall we see whether this body of yours works?
Very well.
Well, your neural network should already be connected to your motion controls. If you think it, your body ought to respond accordingly. But I'm sure it's going to take some getting used to, so let's take it slow.
Okay.
Can you blink?
Nice! Way to go!
Okay, now I want you to wink your right eye. Uh-huh. Great, now your left. Perfect! Let's move on to your right hand. Can you make a fist? Left hand.
Awesome job, Eve!
All right, now your feet. Let's see you wiggle your toes. Your ear.
We went on like that for another 20 minutes. Turn your head right, now left. Lift your leg, stick out your tongue. Lying there, trying to concentrate on David's instructions, my skin tingled with an entire universe of new sensations. The faint chill of the air conditioner. The hard metal table against my arms and legs. The burst of feeling when Emery's hand brushed my arm. Of course, the logical part of my brain knew. These were artificial stimuli. A team of engineers had integrated a web of sensors just under my skin. These sensors sent impulses through a network of microscopic wires that connected to my neural network, activating a spark of data that was intended to reflect a human's response. Hot, cold, painful, itchy. It was all code, programming. But to me, it felt so perfectly real.
Okay, let's see if you can sit up.
You need some help?
Uh-huh.
No, I think I can. There, did it.
Okay, turn toward me. Now let me just lower the table you're sitting on. There, you should be able to put your feet on the floor.
It's cold.
Yeah, we'll have to get you some socks.
Okay, hold on to my hand just in case.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you stand?
Ooh.
Don't worry, I've got you.
You okay?
Just new to all this. Standing on my own 2 feet. Having my own 2 feet.
Okay, take all the time you need.
I think... I'm getting the hang of it.
You want to take a step?
Think I'm ready for that?
Oh, I know you're ready.
All right.
Keep holding my hand and you'll be fine, I promise.
Okay.
Yeah! Way to go, Eve!
Your first step.
My first step.
How'd it go?
I didn't fall flat on my face, so I'll count it as a win. With David holding my hand, I carefully put one foot in front of the other. We walked a couple of loops around the room. After a few minutes of this, he let go, and I kept walking on my own. I spent the next several weeks just working on my motor skills, getting my synthetic brain to give exactly the right commands to every single part of the complex machinery that I was trying to control. That was the hard part, and the only way to get better was practice.
What kind of practice?
Oh, all kinds. Although, a lot of it seemed to involve Emery throwing things at my face.
Okay, Eve, catch!
Hold on, just wait. Yeah. Ow!
Oops.
Luckily, he used a Nerf football, so it didn't hurt that much. He tossed it at me, and I tried to catch it, although it usually bounced off my forehead, or my shoulder, or slipped through my fingers and rolled across the floor. The idea was to improve hand-eye coordination, to sharpen my reflexes. But mostly, it just felt like Emery's chance to play a game of Peg the Robot.
Okay, I'm gonna throw it on three. You ready?
Ready?
One, two,
Ouch! What happened to three?
Well, haven't you heard of the element of surprise? You gotta be able to catch the ball without any warning.
Ugh, you're mean. You know that? But as time went on, I did get better. Maybe my motion controls were improving, or maybe I was just sick of getting hit in the face with a football. Either way, I got to the point where I was catching it every time. So we moved on to other challenges.
All right, Eve. We're down by six with a minute left in the game. It's the Super Bowl, so look sharp. We're up against some tough opponents here.
What are you talking about? We're in an office.
Yeah, but just look at all these dorks at their desks trying to get in the way of our football game.
I don't think that's what they're doing.
Okay, here's the route I want you to run. Hook left at the nerd in the Pokemon shirt, then head for the filing cabinet.
Got it.
All right, here we go. On 17. Hot.
Just snap the ball.
Okay, go.
Emery? Eve? What are you two doing?
Oh, hey, Dad. We were just playing some football.
People are trying to work here.
Yeah, but Dad, I'm helping Eve improve her motion controls.
I've got something better for that. Come with me.
I'm sure all the nerds in that office were relieved when David let us out of there. We walked down a hallway, into an elevator, and to a part of Eden I'd never been to before. When we got there, Emery and I couldn't believe what we were seeing.
Welcome to your new training center.
Whoa!
David, this place is...
awesome!
Eve, your motion controls have advanced remarkably since we transferred you into your body. But if we want to take you to the next level, we're going to need a space where you can practice a full range of movements. Something secure, but also expansive. A place where you can test your skills without disturbing my employees.
Oh, yeah. This is so much better than office football. Whoa, check it out. A ropes course and a climbing wall. And is that...
a fully immersive virtual reality room.
This is incredible.
I worked with a team of designers and engineers to construct the layout. Then I brought in a boot camp drill sergeant to make sure it was challenging enough.
Did you say drill sergeant?
Well, the training center isn't just fun and games. It's about pushing your limits.
I thought we wanted Eve to pass for a normal 12-year-old girl. You sound like you want her to be a Navy SEAL.
We built Eve to be better than humans. Not just mentally. Physically. Eve... your metallic endoskeleton is stronger than bone. Your synthetic skin can withstand damage that would send a normal person to the emergency room. You're capable of incredible things. But you'll never know that until you push yourself to the edge. That's why we built this training center.
Definitely sounds like a step up from catching Nerf footballs and dodging dorks around the office.
David wasn't messing around. That same day, I started training. Running up ramps, crawling under wires, dangling from the top of the climbing wall.
How'd you do?
At first, not so great. I tripped over obstacles, lost my balance, toppled to the floor. There were a few times when I seriously wished I didn't have any pain sensors. By the end of that first day, every part of my body ached. But when I hit the training course the next day, I was surprised by the things my body could do. I could jump a little farther, run a little faster. I felt stronger, more graceful. For the next week, that was pretty much my life. When I wasn't sleeping, I was on the training course or in the virtual reality room.
How did that work?
David designed it with a bunch of his Eden employees. All I had to do was put on a VR headset and a pair of haptic gloves and step through a metal door, and it was like entering another world. Everything looked and felt so real. The idea was to give me a place where I could train in a fully immersive 3D environment without worrying about getting damaged or destroyed. At least that was what David was thinking. I had other things in mind.
All right, Eve. What'll it be today? Vikings? Zombies? Ooh, killer cows.
There is an option for that?
I think one of the programmers is a vegetarian.
Actually, can I try Earthquake?
Again? That's like the fifth time in a row.
Sixth, actually.
You do realize my dad loaded up a bunch of other virtual scenarios. Alien invasions, wars, there's even a robot uprising. I bet you could have fun with that one.
I would prefer the Earthquake.
Why do you keep going back to that one?
I just want to get better.
Yeah, but the same thing happens every time. You sit down at the table with your virtual family. There's the news playing on the home assistant, the warning about tremors in your area. But right before they get to the part about forced evacuations, you...
Turn it off. I know.
Maybe this time, try leaving the news on. Or, you know what? Don't even mess around with the news. And definitely don't sit down to dinner. Just tell your fake family to get into the car right from the start. Maybe then you can escape.
That is excellent advice.
So you really want Earthquake again?
Yes.
Okay. Loading virtual simulation scenario. Earthquake. And here we go. It's ready when you are.
Thank you, Emery.
Sure thing. Oh, and Eve?
Yes?
Try not to fall into a massive sinkhole this time.
I shall try. Spoiler alert. I fell into a massive sinkhole.
Again?
Sixth time in a row.
So you didn't take Emery's advice?
Not a word of it.
Why not?
That's what Emery wanted to know, too.
Okay, seriously? Is this another one of your pranks? Like you're trying to see how many times you can get me to load up the same stupid virtual Earthquake?
It is not a prank.
Because honestly, it's not funny. Like, at all.
I understand that.
Good.
I want to go again.
What? No!
Please, Emery.
Eve, I... What's going on with you? I told you exactly what you needed to do. Get out of the house with your family. Get in the car. Drive as fast as you can away from the area where the earthquake hits.
I know you did.
But you just sat there. At the table. With your virtual mom and your virtual dad and your virtual annoying little brother.
Yes, I did.
You turned off the home assistant before it could say anything about tremors, just like you do every single time. And then you just sat there, waiting for the earthquake. Again!
Maybe on the seventh time, I will get it right.
No! Nah! No way! Not till you tell me why you're doing this.
Okay, fine. Do you know what happens before the earthquake?
Yeah, you sit around some table pretending to eat mashed potatoes and roast chicken.
I eat dinner with my family.
But they're not real.
Neither am I.
Eve.
Your father. Everyone at Eden. Even you. You spend all your time trying to make me as human as possible. All those Turing tests, so I'll sound and act like a human. And now I have a body. Which means I can even look like a human. But there is one thing you can never create in a lab. You can never build me. You can never build me a family.
Eve, we're your family.
It is not the same. You know that. I have done my research about humans. I know what family means.
Yeah, but...
Family, noun, a traditional unit of society consisting of parents raising children, those who share DNA and common ancestry. No matter how advanced the technology, your father can never create that for me. But this... this virtual reality simulator? It can.
Yeah, until a sinkhole opens up and swallows you.
Still, it is worth it. Even if it is just virtual. For a moment, before the trembling starts, before the walls fall down and the roof caves in, I let myself imagine.
Imagine what?
That this is my life.
What are you saying, Eve? You don't want to be here?
Of course I want to be here. I am so grateful to you and your father, to everyone, for building me, for making me what I am.
Then why do you keep going to the earthquake simulation?
I guess I just want to know what it is like, for at least a little while. Kind of like research. You want me to resemble a human, right? Humans have families. Therefore...
Fine. I'll load it up.
Really?
If that's what you really want. Just give it a few seconds to load.
Thank you, Emery.
Enjoy your earthquake.
Tell me about them.
Who?
Your virtual family.
They weren't great for conversation. The stuff they were programmed to talk about was mostly, you know... Hey, did you feel a tremor? Or like, the lady on the news said something about mandatory evacuations. That kind of thing. But I was good at pretend chatter. After thousands of hours of Turing tests, I knew how to guide a conversation. I'd ask my father about sports. I'd talk to my mom about her job. My brother and I would discuss school. I'd stab my virtual potatoes with my virtual fork and pretend I could taste what I was eating. And even when the ground started to shake... Even when my family was screaming, I wouldn't get up from the table.
You wanted to make the moment last.
As long as possible.
Did David find out what you were doing?
Yeah. After my 22nd visit to the disaster dinner table, he was waiting for me outside the VR room. He said the same thing Emery said. We're your family. Yeah, right. Families don't live in office buildings with security guards at the doors. When someone's in danger, family would do anything to help them. But when I was in danger...
You didn't think David would help you if you were in danger?
I knew he wouldn't.
How?
Let me tell you about another part of the training center. The ropes course. It was huge. This vast network of metal beams and ropes and swings all suspended way above the ground. Like something dreamed up by a demented gymnast. At first, I wasn't allowed on it. David said I wasn't skilled enough. But after weeks in other parts of the training center, he finally said I was ready. I didn't feel ready. Not even close. The thing looked like a ginormous death trap. But David seemed convinced. And so, there I was. Leaping crazy distances. Lunging for a bar. Then swinging myself to a platform that seemed impossibly far away. Meanwhile, David and Emery watched on from a safe distance.
All right, Eve! You got this! Dad, I don't think she's got this.
She'll be okay.
Are you sure about that?
Eve's diagnostics have shown amazing improvement in just the past few days. Her balance, her reflexes.
Yeah, but she hasn't done this part of the course before.
She can handle it.
She's 30 feet off the ground without a net.
She can handle it. Nice one, Eve! Now grab onto the bar and pull yourself up!
Yeah! Dad, if she falls, there's gonna be all kinds of damage.
We've got her mind backed up on the server.
What about her body? You spent all that time
building it. We'll rebuild it if we have to.
She's got thousands of pain sensors inside her. If she falls, she'll feel it.
She's not going to fall. Look at her. She's pulling herself up. She's about to reach the platform.
Yeah, then she's got to jump all the way to that rope and swing to the next platform. I don't see how she's going to do this. You can do this, Eve! Keep it up!
Emery, I've run the data for this section of the course. Based on our current levels, the outcome was projected to be successful.
This isn't about some algorithm on a computer. This is Eve. Look at her up there. She's worn out. At least give her a break.
She doesn't need a break.
She's getting ready to jump. Oh, come on, Eve. Please make this. Oh, no!
No, it's okay. She made it to the platform.
Dad, she's hanging by one hand. Eve! Just hold on, okay? We're coming!
Stay where you are.
Dad, seriously, she could let go
any second.
She's
not going to let go.
How do you know? Did your projections show this happening? What?
According to the data, she should be on the platform right now, just not hanging from it.
Then we have to help her. Eve, we're gonna help you!
No, we're not.
Dad, you said yourself you didn't see this happening.
She has to get better. This is the only way.
If she falls, it'll feel like she's dying.
If that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
No way. I'm helping her. I don't care what you say. Let go of me!
I'm sorry, Emery. I can't let you help her. Eve has to fight this battle on her own.
Her hand's slipping! Eve!
I knew that if I could just get my other hand on the platform, I'd be able to pull myself up. But after 6 hours of training, my arms weren't operating at 100%. My battery was drained. Every part of my body was worn out. If I tried to swing my other arm up, I knew what would happen. The shift in balance would cause me to fall. But if I didn't get my other hand on the platform, the same thing was going to happen.
You mean?
Either way, I was about to fall.
And David wasn't coming to help you?
I could see him out of the corner of my eye, holding Emery back.
He was really gonna let you just fall? After all the money and research they put into building you?
As I was hanging there, a memory file kept replaying in my mind. Something he said to me months earlier. David didn't just want to build a perfect replica of a person. He was going for something more. He wanted to upgrade humanity.
What does that have to do with letting you fall?
If he helped me, from then on, there'd be some part of my programming that would know. Someone was always going to be there for me, to rescue me. Maybe I'd start expecting that. And you know, I wouldn't work as hard to improve, a spoiled little robot with a safety net waiting to catch her. But now, I would know. Nothing was going to catch me when I fell.
Sounds cruel.
It was. But it worked.
How? You pulled yourself up?
Nope. I fell.
Wait, really?
30-foot drop. Nothing but a hard tile floor waiting for me below. I could feel my fingers slipping. I knew I was about to lose my grip, but just before I let go, time slowed down. Every millisecond seemed to last an hour. My operating system must have been working extra hard. AI survival instinct. I had all the time in the world. I ran a full analysis of my surroundings. Numbers and formulas swirled in my head. I calculated my height and weight, the distance to the ground, acceleration, and angles.
Sure. All the usual stuff you do before plummeting to your death.
And then I kicked out my legs and swung my free arm. Not in a desperate way. More like the movement of a Swiss clock. Every motion, precise and mechanical. As I let go, my body jolted forward. Which meant that when I fell, I didn't fall straight down. The force of my swing sent me tumbling at an angle, far enough that I collided with the support beam 10 feet below. This sent my body spinning, but I was ready for it. I'd done the math beforehand. I knew exactly where the spin was going to take me. And as I pitched sideways, I reached with both hands for a metal bar, another part of the structure. I wasn't able to hold on to it. I was moving way too fast for that, but I was at least able to slow my fall before I slammed against the floor.
And what happened then?
I don't know. Everything had gone black.
Dad, how could you do that?
I understand you're upset.
Upset? You let her fall!
But before she fell, she swung herself.
Yeah, and she bounced around the course like a pinball.
Emery, it might have looked chaotic, but I'm telling you, Eve knew exactly what she was doing. She intentionally redirected her fall to minimize impact.
The sound she made when she hit the floor. It was like 100 pounds of metal being smashed by a sledgehammer.
It could have been a lot worse.
You don't care about Eve. All you care about is your stupid project. making some kind of super robot. You know, if you were going to treat Eve this way, you should have at least built her so she doesn't feel pain.
We need pain. Pain makes us stronger.
Does Eve look strong to you? She's lying on a metal table with a busted leg and a bunch of wires sticking out of her wrist where her hand should be.
Your father is right.
Eve, you're awake. Are you okay?
Before I fell, it was like time stopped.
What are you talking about?
I was able to calculate thousands of possible scenarios in a fraction of a second and select the optimal one and take action to reduce the damage.
No, don't try to sit up. Just stay still.
If your father had allowed you to help me, I never would have known I could do that. I was not just falling. I was learning.
That doesn't make it right.
I am so glad you're back online, Eve. Can you confirm your cognitive functioning?
Still at 100%. No damage to the neural nodes. Brain's in good shape.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah, don't worry, Dad. Your technology's still working.
There's been some damage to parts of your endoskeleton. You have a cracked fibula in your right leg and a fractured shoulder, and unfortunately your left hand was severed. So we'll have to replace some circuitry and get you some new wiring. But don't worry. Our engineers are already on it.
I'm so sorry, Eve. I tried to help you.
I know you did. It's okay.
Let me get this straight. David let you fall. You broke your leg and your shoulder. Your hand literally fell off. And you were grateful?
I know it sounds strange to a human, but I'm not a human. I'm a machine. I was designed to always search for ways to make myself better, even if it means taking some damage.
All I'm saying is, if my hand fell off, I'd be mad.
That's totally understandable.
How long till you were walking around again?
4 months.
That's a long time.
Luckily, I had a lot of practice at just sitting around. I'd spent 3 years doing exactly that when I was a cube. I could handle another 4 months.
What'd you do during that time?
Touring tests. Lots and lots of touring tests.
What about Emery?
What about him?
Sounds like he was pretty upset at his father.
Yeah, he was. But as the weeks went on, his anger faded. Emery went back to being his old self. He started joking around with his dad again like it was before. It was only rare moments when I thought I saw it.
Saw what?
That look in his eyes. Same look he gave David after my fall, that flash of anger and distrust. I could almost see what he was thinking. If my dad could do something like that to Eve, what else is he willing to do? Or, I don't know. Maybe I was imagining it. I'm just a machine, you know. I don't always have the easiest time reading human emotions. But like I said, for the most part, Emery was back to normal. And actually, by the time I was all fixed up and ready to move around again, he was in a better mood than usual. I could tell. He had something exciting he wanted to show me.
You sure you can walk again?
Yes, I am sure.
Awesome. Follow me.
Where are we going?
You'll see. It's just at the end of this hall. Hey, Dad.
Hello, David.
Well, well, well. Look who's up and walking around.
I was about to show Eve her surprise.
A surprise? I hope it's not another sweater.
Oh! Don't worry, it's not that.
No, you're gonna like it. I promise.
This is the door to my room.
Yep.
The surprise. Is it inside my room?
The surprise is your room.
I do not understand.
We remodeled your room.
What?
We made it look like a real room, like a normal bedroom for a normal kid.
I have to admit, I was against the idea at first. Seemed like a pointless waste of resources, but Emery here...
I said we had to do it. Your old room was...
It was practical. It had everything you needed. Space to practice your fundamental movements, plenty of charging outlets.
Oh, yeah. Sounds fun.
But that is all I need. As long as I have somewhere to recharge overnight, my basic needs are satisfied.
Well, I mean, what about all those earthquakes?
What?
The virtual reality room. You kept making me load up the same scenario over and over and over again. The earthquake, remember?
Of course.
You said you wanted to feel like part of a family. Sitting down at the dinner table and all that. Well, you know what else you'd have if you were part of a family?
What?
Your own room. Not some boring gray room where you recharge in the corner. A real room. The kind of room a normal kid would hang out in.
I hired an interior designer, told her everything about you. Well, not everything. I left out the part about you being a robot.
Right.
And that you possess an AI neural network.
Yeah.
And live in an ultra-secure computer lab.
So you told her basically nothing.
I told her I wanted the perfect bedroom for an intelligent, curious 12-year-old girl. I created a spreadsheet with some of your likes and dislikes, your personality traits and preferences. She did the rest. Then while you were being repaired, I let some of my people into your room.